It's our last podcast of the regular season. Patrick and I are going over some of the big games, final standings heading into the weekend. We're going to be talking about our regular season takeaways and, of course, finishing with a little hot streak shooting slump. Final regular season pod, we're finally here. I feel like this has been a long time coming. Me and you have been in playoff mode for, I think, a month. We've done our awards, our All-NBA, our playoff predictions. We've done, like, a whole Thunder playoff breakdown. We've done everything except talk about the regular season in the last
month. I didn't think this would ever, I didn't think we'd make it. I didn't think we would ever get here. It felt like, I mean, 82 games is just
it's a long time.
A long time. Yeah. And to cover every single team, all 82. And still, we know close to nothing in terms of actual playoff series, play-in series. We really don't know much still.
I feel like you mean it just in terms of what the matchups are?
Yeah, who's...
Well, we know the 4-5.
We know the 4-5 in the West.
And Mavericks are locked into that. I think at this point it's pretty much locked in. The Clippers at 4, Mavericks at 5. But I guess theoretically the Clippers could lose two.
The Clippers could very easily... Or no, wouldn't they just have to lose? Or
they have two more games.
Have no idea who has the tiebreaker.
Both the Mavericks and Clippers have two more games. Yeah, I don't know who has the tiebreaker, but that's that series. So some of the big games we highlighted earlier this week, we're just going to touch back on them. Warriors-Lakers, the Warriors ended up winning that game, but right now the Lakers are one win ahead of them, but no losses. They're tied in the loss
call. And
the Warriors.
Golden State has one more game than the Lakers left.
Mm-hmm. So and the Warriors have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, so if both won out, the Warriors
will get the nine
home court.
Yeah, so it's looking very likely like we're going to see Lakers-Warriors in that 9-10 with the Lakers on the road. In the 7-8, the Phoenix Suns, for those of you who missed it, the Suns had a disaster class of a game on
Tuesday,
where they scored 4 points in the first 10 minutes of the game. They won the next day, though, against the same team that clowned them, although that team wasn't playing any of its guys.
It's just, I mean, we can talk about this for a second. We've talked about all year how unprepared the Suns have been in clutch moments, unprepared the Suns have been in the fourth quarter, and this is just it carrying on this consistent theme of just, and I don't think we can even like parse it any other way at this point. Frank Vogel not only does not have his team's ear whatsoever, but consistently this team comes in just unprepared for the moment, unprepared for opportunities. And like, I truly believe, like, this has got to be the Suns' floor of, like, the talent they have on this roster, the fact that they can just come into must-win games and lay goose egg after goose egg. Honestly, the Suns should have lost yesterday's game when you don't play Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Norm Powell. All of those guys didn't play yesterday, and they were down 4 going into the fourth quarter. Bones Highland dropped 37 points on them.
Max, how much DV did you have to lower Patrick's mic by when you heard the Suns were being mentioned?
Just like 45 or so.
It's embarrassing. It is so, so embarrassing. And you get to the point where it's like, what do you do? What do you do at this point if it doesn't work? Obviously, like probably the coach needs to be fired. No matter, like, I would be shocked.
Well, let's talk Suns reconstruction when they lose in the play-in a week from today. But
yeah, literally. And with all that said, there is a very, very, very real possibility that the Suns get the sixth seed and continue on. The Pelicans have a really, really tough last two games against the Lakers and the Warriors, two teams that are extremely
hot.
Oh, and the Kings. All three teams that are going to give it their very best. And then the Suns have the Kings and the Timberwolves, who we will see if the Timberwolves have anything to play for in that last game. But that's that 6-7 race is just entirely confounding to me.
All right. Now that we're back out of the desert, The other big game we highlighted was a couple more, but Nuggets Timberwolves, the battle for the one seed, was won by the Denver Nuggets. So as long as the Nuggets can win out against the Spurs and the Hawks, the Grizzlies. The Nuggets are your one seed. I mean, to touch on that game, it feels like the Timberwolves are definitely the team that's built the best to take on the Nuggets, because it feels like the Timberwolves kind of struggle to score in a lot of games, but they don't struggle to score against the Nuggets too much. I think that'll get a little bit easier when Cat comes back as well. But man, it kind of sucks when you've invested so much of the cap into this like defensive specialist, and he has no prayer for guarding Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, but that's kind of like superstars in the NBA. You can put great defenders on them, and they're going to score if they're really like Jokic level one-of-one kind of guys.
It's just that Jokic breaks the math. It's like, usually it's like, you know, like back in the day, it's like, we don't have a LeBron stopper, we have like a LeBron slower. And it's like, okay, what does a LeBron slower do? He holds him to like, what, 45% field goal percentage or 50% field goal percentage instead of like 55? But Jokic, he's still shooting 80%. He's shooting such an unbelievable number.
But don't you think the value in a guy like Rudy Gobert is not, oh, he's going to go out there and stop Jokic? It's that, oh, he's probably going to do the same as whatever other scheme we would have, but we have the luxury of single covering Jokic the entire time Rudy Gobert is on the floor.
I don't think you... I just don't think he can single cover him. He dropped 40 on 16 of 20.
Yeah, but I mean, he's going to do that to anybody, you know?
He's going to do that to most people.
If you're trotting out, you know, freaking DeAndre Jordan or, you know, Drew Eubanks out there or Ivica Zubac, you're probably going to have to think about sending a little bit more serious doubles.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. They should have doubled this game. Well, I don't know, because Jokic is the best player in the world.
He's the best player in the world.
We just saw it again last night. He's the best player. That's first regular season takeaway. In the East.
Oh, whoa. My friend Max is sitting right here.
What?
And I feel compelled to say, you watch that Timberwolves-Nuggets game. One takeaway I had is, even without Karl Anthony Towns, that Minnesota Timberwolves team is a contender.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for what sure. a really, really elite performance through three quarters. They're still shorthanded. They're going to get news reports are all saying that Karl Anthony Towns is going to come back in one of these last two games. I could not be more excited to see this version of Anthony Edwards in the playoffs. How do you think reinserting Cat will help that kind of scoring issue that you alluded to?
It's tough because Naz Reid's been playing really well in Cat's absence. He's been hitting a lot of threes in Cat's absence. So
last night he was not playing well.
No, not last night. But outside of last night, Naz Reid's been playing super well. So that's the kind of the weird thing is, I don't know if it necessarily is going to supercharge their offense in a way that we're hoping, but I think it's going to raise the floor of that. The bench minutes are going to be better because they're going to go back to the three-headed center rotation that's made them so good all season.
Yeah. And I also think you saw early in that game, they had a lot of Naz Reid defending Jokic and then Gobert kind of floating, being that free safety rover. I think you're going to have a lot better results if you have Karl Anthony Towns in that spot. Obviously, it's not going to be perfect. You're going up against Jokic. But I think with Kat defending Jokic one-on-one, you're going to have a little bit better results. So maybe it's not the 16 of 20 performance.
Also, and I will say, less Kyle Anderson and more Kat is always going to be a good thing.
Like, God, slow-mo just gets slower and
there's
slower.
There's like a part of me. There's a part of me that feels like every time I see Kyle Anderson shoot a three, I'm like, whoever the god of basketball is, they're just not going to let this team win if this guy's on the roster.
Yeah.
Whoa. What's up with the Kyle Anderson hate?
His form.
Slow. It's steady.
I mean, you know, I've never really cared for Kyle Anderson to be, you know, I don't know if it's just a personal thing. I don't know if it's the forehead. I don't know if it's the shot.
His jump shot pisses me off.
Chinese national.
But like, objectively, you're giving the defense more time to close out when you shoot like that. It's a bad, even if it's a high percentage
Which it's not. He's not a good shooter.
But even if it was, it's still not good because of how slow it is.
I guess I don't know the stats, but to me, I'm kind of like, what does Kyle really, other than his size and his length?
Teammate punches landed per 48.
Like, he's
he
not.
He got a pass.
He can pass, is that what you're saying?
He can kind of pass,
right?
Yeah.
I'm like, he's not an elite defender. He's not an elite scorer. He's just like a big body.
You know what I
way.
Feel like Kyle Anderson is? He's like when you get one of those multi-tool things, but yeah. Like it's like the screwdriver head doesn't actually fit any of the screws in your house. So like, I mean, he could do it in theory.
Yeah, it's just going to take a while.
Yeah. Literally. He might strip it, but yeah.
You were about to go to the East, right?
Yeah.
Before we go to the East, do we want to have any quick MVP discussion? I feel like the MVP is definitely coming out of the West, and now there's a lot of Luka noise.
Yeah, there's a lot. So I it's kind of crazy. You know, we got some comments that were like, look at them hating on Luka, as if I haven't been all over Luka all season. Actually, before the season.
I throw up every episode.
Before the season in a test pod, I don't remember if it was a test pod or one of our first pods. I literally proclaimed Luka was going to finish the year as the clear-cut second-best player in the NBA.
You did say that.
I did say that. Guess what?
We're here.
I would have him third right now, but...
That's that Joel Embiid love.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of forgetting you. Joel Embiid was the runaway MVP before he got hurt.
Yeah, and
he's come back and he's been fucking awesome.
Has not missed a beat at all.
At all.
And the new hairstyle, kind of fresh.
Yeah.
Shoots backwards now. Very
shoots
good.
Shoots literally back. No, but Luka, like in literally any other NBA season in NBA history, Luka's the MVP. And I don't like doing these MVP debates because it feels really difficult to prop up one player without denigrating another player. Because I've seen a lot of people with Luka talk about like the combined like points, assists, rebounds. And like to me, Luka's case was, yes, he has the gaudy stats, but like it's not the Westbrook case. Luka's case is that he's like Jokic. He makes every read. He's such an amazing passer. Like, I don't want to denigrate again, but like I was watching Thunder highlights yesterday and they were playing them during like the Timberwolves game, and Shea does like a backward bounce pass. And they're like, look at that pass. I'm like, dude, that's like the slow, horrible version of the Luka like backward pass. Like to me, it's like Jokic, Luka, gap, then Shea. That's how I view the MVP race. But Jokic is just the more impactful player, like straight up. He's just the more impactful player. Like he shot 80% yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Luka's big games, Luka shoots like 55%, which again, elite MVP. This is maybe the greatest offensive perimeter season we've seen ever. But Jokic is just he breaks the numbers.
Not only that, like I mean, Jokic is leading the league in rebounding, which like is just so valuable, especially in an NBA that they're swallowing the whistle a little bit more than when we started the season. Rebounding, I would say, is at like a 10-year peak in terms of value. And then just the positionally, Jokic is their center. So much more value. I think Jokic is just so much more valuable on defense than a guy like Luka.
I don't see that. Here's my thing. I actually don't think the defense argument is fair for Jokic over Luka, just because centers are more impactful, because Luka will be playing with a center. Like, presumably, you're always playing with a center on the court. But it's just like when Jokic is out there, like, they shoot more shots at the rim. They shoot literally, we went through it on our MVP pod. They're shooting like 10% higher field goal percentage when he's on the court. Like, yeah. No other player just elevates their teammates the way Jokic does. And like, I'm the biggest Luka fan ever. I would love for Luka to win the MVP. I just don't see it with the way Jokic is playing.
Nah. He's the best player in the league. And any pushback on that, he's been the best player this season. Any pushback on that is just voter fatigue at this point.
Yeah.
The Derrick Rose, you know, argument over LeBron. Both were great that year, but one hadn't already won two MVPs.
And like, I think we're in this new era of the NBA, and I think it's really tough because we love these players. Like, I love Luka. Like, Luka's literally... I like Luka more than Jokic myself.
And
I'm a big Luka guy, yeah.
And me? I hate Luka. I'm like, just kidding. Luka's fine as a basketball
player. I'm a huge Joel Embiid fan. I've been a massive fan of Embiid since he was a rookie. And, like, 30 years from now, would I love to look back and be like, Embiid should have been a three-time, two-time MVP winner? Like, yeah, same with Luka. But when there's five guys a year who are all of this caliber, but one of them is just every year, he's always coming out ahead. I don't know. He's going to be the MVP. But in a weird way, I feel like Jokic just almost ruined the MVP award because he is just that much better than everybody.
I mean, this is just something that we've seen from all-time great players. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's ruining the MVP award, but like you look back and like Kobe had one MVP and that's probably just around the right. Like maybe he could have eked out another MVP or two, but like Kobe is like a bottom top 10 all-time player and he won one MVP and that's just about right. That's just about where everybody else lives. And I'm sure Luka's going to get his MVP, you know, and he's just from his talent level, he's probably like a two-ish time MVP and he'll get that in the season where he runs the West. Like that's coming. It'll come up soon. And I hate that there's kind of like a rush to be like, we've got to honor everybody. Everybody will be honored in their time. And right now we are looking at prime Jokic just coming off a finals MVP. Like who is better to honor than the best player in the league with MVP?
I guess one, because I think one thing the NBA, it's weird because there's 82 games. So you never want to do like, oh, well, this is the game that decided the MVP, right? But I think like why to me Jokic, like I'm one of those voters if I had a vote who I'm going to vote way more based off, do I just think you're the best player? That to me is more heavy than anything for voting for MVP. And like you watch Maverick Celtics and Luka's awesome. But like the game kind of like, you know, slips away from the Mavericks. They just can't compete with them. Whereas Denver, like you're watching the games and the moment it's close, you're like, I have no doubt Jokic is going to come through and beat this team who's supposedly the greatest team, you know, ever. I don't know. Jokic is the MVP to me.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd be floored if he didn't win.
I think you need to factor in how your team, it's team sport. How's the team doing? And for Luka's credit, like, wow, I can't believe the place he has the Mavericks in right now. But, I mean, this Nuggets team is going to win the one seed in one of the best Western conferences that we have ever seen. It's funny that you bring up the, like, single game thing. It did kind of feel like yesterday was Jokic's moment. That got me thinking, though, like, I think Shea kind of like ruined his own MVP candidacy by missing that Mavericks Thunder game a couple weeks ago. That would have been like such a great showcase for him to really like kind of put his flag in the number two in the MVP race. And Luka ended up doing that, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, also it's also one of those things, too, where I know the last time the Mavs and the Nuggets played, they had that crazy Kyrie buzzer beater, but the Nuggets won the season series.
Yeah. Well, and hey, that was like the most incredible buzzer beater ever. I have ever seen.
And it was from Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. If it was Luka, maybe.
But, and Luka's had more jaw-dropping shots this season than I think any player ever in a single season. Like the underhand scoop three-point layup, like what was that?
That was crazy. I don't know. I can get behind this.
You can't just say that like a blanket statement. Like
I think so. Like time. Just I think so of all time. The most just absurd collection of shots in one season.
Are dunks included in this conversation?
Oh, like jaw-defying dunks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't remember because him
I feel like
much.
I don't know. Like jaw had as many like insane jaw-dropping plays per game as Luka's having this year, last year.
A certain fellow named Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards has had some crazy dunks.
We saw Anthony Edwards put his entire like jaw around a backboard to win a game.
But Luka will do like the 30 just out of this world passes on. I don't know.
I can only let you say so many nice things about Luka so much, man.
Look, guys, I'm equally bummed, but he's not the MVP.
Don't be bummed, guys.
Jokic is fucking awesome. 80% against Gobert in a must-win game. Yeah, there's no insane, one like Jokic.
Insane.
Also, like the longevity of Jokic's career is probably not going to be anything crazy, right?
Like, yeah, I feel like that's up to him. You know,
I think if he wanted to just keep playing, he could play for a long time.
Yeah, I just don't know with his body type. Like, how long can you hold up that?
You know, they were talking about it on the broadcast yesterday of the crazy thing about Jokic, and I did notice this last year in the playoffs, is like, although he turns like bright pink, he kind of goes at the same speed no matter the quarter, no matter how many minutes he's playing.
His stamina is crazy. Like, the way he's able to play these big minutes and, like, the fourth quarter. I think, like, the thing with Jokic, it kind of reminds me of LeBron, where, like, it's, like, 3 minutes left and everyone's gassed except for Jokic and LeBron. They're just, all right, let's go. Let's run. Like,
chugging along.
Yeah. Okay. Should we finally
east.
Get to
we'll
the East?
We'll go to the East.
The Bucks beat the Magic. The Dame Bucks continue to be an awesome team. And the Giannis Bucks continue to be a disappointing team.
The Bobby Portis Bucks, thank you very much. Dropping 30 in a must-win game. I just, every time I watched the Bucks without Giannis, it was like, it was that Suns Bucks game where they didn't have Giannis or Dame. Bobby Portis scored like 35. I watched this Magic game yesterday. Bobby Portis drops 30.
No, Bobby Portis is really good.
People forget Bobby Portis is a bucket.
He is a bucket. Like, I feel like even the Bucks game I went to like last week, it's just like, if Bobby Portis is posted up on like just a normal NBA player, like, he's going to score.
Yeah, it's done.
Yeah,
it's done. But no. Yeah, huge win.
Huge win for the Bucks. So they're really likely getting that 2 seed now. They're 49-31. The Knicks are 47-32. Today, the Knicks are playing the Celtics. If the Celtics, you know, want to end the Knicks' hopes for a 2 seed, they probably can tonight. It's in Boston, but if the Bucks, you know, they got 2 games left. They've got the Thunder and they've got the Magic. Those are both winnable. Those are both losable.
That Thunder Bucks game is a huge game for both like top 3 seeds in each conference. That's so weird how that ended up turning out.
When is that game?
That is in like a day or two.
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow.
2 days, yeah.
Let's go Bucks.
Other news, the 76ers just keep winning.
Yep.
They're
somehow they did it. They beat the Pistons.
So are you, because last time we talked, you said you'd pick the Bucks over them. Are you still feeling that way if it's 2-7?
Oh. I need to know more about the Giannis
injury. Yeah, so Giannis has a left calf strain. He's going to miss the rest of the regular season. They're saying he might miss a game or two in the playoffs.
It's normally like a 1 to 2 week injury recovery thing.
The worrisome thing is that they're saying there's no Achilles damage, but this is the same thing Durant had leading up to his Achilles tear.
Also, Giannis had Achilles tendinopathy earlier this year on the same leg. So you got to think that that might be a little connected. I'm no doctor.
Yeah.
But definitely does make me rethink things of just like the Bucks ceiling.
Yeah, I think without Giannis, that could be a sweep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would. Oh, you think the Sixers would sweep the Bucks?
Without Giannis?
Without Giannis?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if it'd be a sweep. Sweeps like never happen.
Sweeps are, you know, but you know what team sweeps a lot in the first round of the regular season? I think more than any other team the last like 6 years.
Yeah, the team that always plays the Brooklyn Nets in the first round. Come on, James.
All right, you're right. Damian Lillard's too good to be swept.
I don't know if it'd be a sweep, but I would.
Wait, Lillard's been swept in the first round by a lower seed before.
Yeah, he was running with CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic.
Yeah, he's running with Malik Beasley right now.
Whoa. The Jay Crowder eraser is
bro, the Bucks' big adjustment in this 2-game win streak was start Patrick Beverley.
Hey, it worked.
Smart call.
It did work. It did work.
Super coach Doc Rivers.
Side note, because I feel like this is not a typical Foul Trouble podcast where Patrick and I come with our research and our stats. No. This is the more vibes heavy podcast. Between watching Bucks games this year and watching Laker games last year, I don't think I've ever seen Malik Beasley make a 3.
Really?
And he shoots like 42%. I've never seen him make a shot. Every Bucks game, it's like, wow, Malik's cold today. And that's every Laker game last year. They were like, oh, we brought in this shooter. He gets to LA and he can't shoot anymore and he gets benched.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, you watch more Eastern Conference basketball than me. And I feel that for last year with the Lakers, I don't think I saw Malik Beasley hit any threes. I feel like I've seen him. I mean, I watch all the Suns games. So, of course, he's hitting like 9 threes every time he plays the Suns.
Don't you dare talk about Malik Threesley like that.
Timberwolves legend.
My legend. My goat.
Yeah, Nuggets culture just leaking into all the other teams. Okay, so you take the Sixers over the Bucks.
Yeah.
I would not take the Heat over the Bucks, I don't think.
Without Giannis?
Yeah.
I would take the Heat.
Maybe if Giannis isn't playing at all.
Yeah.
The whole series.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd take the Heat. But if Giannis, if I'm getting 3 to 4 games of Giannis in a Heat series, I would still probably take the Bucks right now.
I'm not afraid of the Bucks.
He lost last night, right?
That's what we do. Well, we lost to...
That's what we do.
But you're still taking them in the series.
Well, you're forgetting. Like, in a Bucks series, we're playing against, like, the Doc Rivers Bucks. Last night, we played Luka Godley, Doncic.
That's true.
The fucking GOAT.
You can't lose anymore. That's the thing about the Mavericks that people think about. They're not allowed to lose anymore.
They are not. That's why the Clippers are screwed.
Yeah, oof. Poor Clippers, man.
Hey, I think again. The Clippers might have got their mojo back against the Suns. The Clippers, they're feeling each other.
I think they're about to get it taken away, but...
I mean, hey, that's another injury situation that we know absolutely nothing about is the Kawhi Leonard situation. Hasn't played in, I think, like close to 2 weeks at this point. We have no timetable for his injury. It's all... some weird knee thing. Soreness,
kind of like always with Kawhi. Also, Derek Jones Jr. got hurt last night against the Heat.
Oh, did he?
He did.
That's low-key kind of big.
Yeah. He got his arm yanked by Bam on a rebound.
Okay. Wow. Wow, that is pretty big. That he's like their wing stopper.
Athletic, big
and
guy.
Who can now hit 40% of his 30s.
I guess the nice thing for the Mavs is they can slot in Josh Green, and the bad thing is when you slot in Josh Green, now there is no Josh Green behind him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, I mean, the rotations shrink.
Why was PG, Kawhi, and why were like all the Clippers not playing last night?
Oh, they wanted to embarrass the Suns. They knew the Suns wouldn't show up.
It's personal. Okay. PG and Booker don't like each other.
No, I don't. It was a back to back.
Okay,
and they traveled on the back to back. I assume that's
why. There's a lot of back to backs this week.
There are a lot. It's kind of weird. The NBA like backloaded the schedule. I feel like every team's playing like back to backs.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah. Also, like obviously the NBA can't forecast that Nuggets Timberwolves game was going to be like the deciding game for the one seed. But it's like both teams are off a back to back. But the Timberwolves have to fly into Denver at 3 a.m, they said.
Yeah, and it's after Ant decides he wants to do his 51-point game, which I'm like, that's cool, man, but did you want to save a little bit of that gas for tomorrow? I don't know.
Did you see that
They needed every bit of that 51 points against
the Wizards. They needed that. Did you see Ant in the offseason? They asked Ant, what's one thing you can't do? And he said, beat the Wizards. Because I guess coming into this year, he was 0-6 against the Wizards.
Whoa.
So this year, Ant averaged, I think, like 47 points against the Wizards to atone for that.
That's amazing.
Anthony Davis needs to contact Anthony Edwards.
About the Kings.
Yeah, about the Kings, his little Kings problem. Okay, looking at the Eastern Conference rundown.
The Magic dropped to fifth.
Yeah, super disappointing. They had all the power, but yeah, we're looking at a Cavs Magic 4-5. That would be, or actually,
we'll see what happens. That could go anyway because
Pacers are literally tied.
Yeah, there's basically a 4-way tie tomorrow. Pacers Cavs. That's a really big game. We highlighted that before.
Ooh, that's huge.
Magic 76ers. I mean,
A huge game too.
Yeah,
if the Sixers win, they'll be tied with that group, or at least with the Magic as well.
And I think they have this series tiebreaker over the Magic. Ooh, the Magic could drop all the way into the Florida fighting rink. The 7-8 play-in.
A battle for Ron DeSantis.
Florida supremacy.
Wow.
Yeah. Who will be the swamp survivor?
They should play the game at Mar-a-Lago. Have Baron tip it up.
Baron is like weirdly tall, right?
So tall. So tall. Scary tall.
Off-puttingly tall.
Off-puttingly tall.
All right.
Is that what's off-putting about him?
All right. I mean, the East is honestly just such a jumbled mess. Like, I don't really want to parse through it again. Like, we tried to parse through it on Monday, and all that's happened is they got even more tangled up in a knot.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to do with that. You want to go do our takeaways?
Yeah.
We both wrote down some casual takeaways.
What is your first regular season takeaway?
My first regular season takeaway is continuity is more important than ever in the NBA. You look at the teams that made really big offseason changes to, like, their top 2 to 3 players. You look at a team or midseason, you look at a team like the Pacers. Once they made that move for Pascal Siakam, things got very complicated for them as a team. Of course, that also comes with Tyrese Halliburton, but Buddy Hield going out, who had a really was really high on their offensive pecking order, that made it very difficult for them. The exception to the rule here is kind of the Sixers, but when you have Joel Embiid, you kind of can be the exception to the rule. But
yep,
you look at the Suns there, you look at the Warriors, kind of all over the place. They made so many changes this offseason, contrary to what they're normally doing. You look at the Bucks. Of course, the Bucks are up in the 2 seed, but I think they really underperformed most people's expectations for what they would be like. I just think the league is too talented to be overhauling your roster completely every single season the way that we've kind of gotten used to in the NBA.
Also, will say, as a fan, I do just like it when teams stick together for longer periods of time.
Yeah, same. I know it's like, I feel like the NBA likes all the crazy trades, but I like the continuity.
Yeah.
Well, there
it just creates rivalries. It's like this Luka Clippers thing is fun because it's happening again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea is fun, but isn't like Luka the only starter from the Mavs?
Right.
The last
didn't
time
Luka score 100% of their points the last 2 series?
No, maybe. I did hear a rumor about that. And then the Clippers. I mean, I guess the Clippers have a lot of the same core pieces, but
like, yeah, they've had a lot of the same, not only star players from that 2019 construction, some of the same role players. It's still Zubac. It's still Man. Like,
yeah. Well, wasn't Zubac on the Lakers at that point?
Imagine. No, he got traded the year prior.
Ooh, in 2018? Wow. That is like,
that was an unhinged
such
trade.
A bad trade.
Yeah, that was an unhinged trade.
Hey, at least the Lakers got Mike Muscala. Or who was it? Was it Mike Muscala?
I think it was. Like, you know what? I'm going to go with the Windhorse. They won a chip. Every move that led up to that was a W.
That's true. You never have to apologize. What is the takeaway for you?
All 82 games matter.
Yes.
And I'm looking at a couple teams. One, the Lakers, who decided, why don't we experiment with our lineups to the detriment of our team record for 40 games before we start trying?
Too little,
now
too late.
Now they're going to be in the back end of the play-in. This is a team that if they had just played the lineups that were working in the beginning of the year, that worked all last year, probably could have been up to that 4 or 5 seed.
Also, their team's not that good. Their team is not that good.
But like, if they had just played the right lineups the first 40 games, they're definitely a 4 or 5 seed in my eyes. The way they were winning, they didn't make any trades. They just played the lineups that people were telling them to play 4 months ago.
That is true. That is true.
I don't understand this. What are you doing tinkering with lineups for 40 games, letting your team drop all the way in the standings before you just do what worked last year? I don't understand that. The Mavericks, going back to Luka's MVP, like, you want to win MVP? You got to be the best player for all 82. Mm-hmm. Jokic was way better than, not way better. Luka was awesome all year, but like, if you did this MVP poll like at the 42 game mark, Jokic was far ahead of Luka. Now he's only a little ahead of Luka because of the second half of the season, but the first half of the season matters just as much as the second half of the season. So that's my takeaway. I don't really understand. I feel like a lot of NBA teams just throw away like first 30 games.
Yeah. I mean, especially with these old stars, like we've kind of been talking about it for a while, but boy, have the Suns not taken a lot of the season super seriously. I mean, freaking Draymond Green throwing away 15-game suspension.
The Warriors, just like the Lakers, the Warriors could have been a 4 or 5 seed if they were playing this way all season. And I don't think, like, obviously we talked about this, they had a crazy difficult schedule the first 41, but like, maybe don't get suspended for 10 games, Draymond. Maybe, like, I don't know, Klay Thompson, figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, know that you're older and you're in a new stage of your career. Like, I don't know. I know people say that's really hard to reckon with, but I remember watching my big three Heat, and I was always like, every role player understood who they were, what they were. Like, Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh were bigger stars, I would argue, than Klay were, and they kind of knew what to do. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just
teams- to your point, even going down that Miami roster, you look at a guy like Rashard Lewis, who was a number one option at points in his career, a Ray Allen, who is a superstar in this league. Understanding your role is pretty big.
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of these teams, and like these games, all like every game matters equally. Like, they all matter equally. So it's just weird to me that so many teams just are like, all right, we'll just experiment and fuck around for 20 games, 30 games before we start trying. Like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, my next one is center. It's the most important position in basketball, especially in the NBA at this point. We had a long time where that just was not the case at all because, I mean, for a lot of different reasons, one mainly being just the upper echelon talent level just wasn't there yeah. for the center position. But when you have multiple Hall of Fame level talents at the center position in the NBA, every single time in NBA history, that became kind of the arbiter of history and where, like, what you had to go through. And with guys like Joel Embiid, with guys like Nikola Jokic, even you look at just the top teams, you've got Kristaps Porzingis had an amazing year when he was healthy. You had Rudy Gobert had an amazing year. Chet Holmgren, really, really great rookie year. All of these teams have a solid core, and that's built out from their center position. So it's cool. It's cool that we're back.
We're so back. Centers are back in a big way. I guess my next takeaway, it's kind of a takeaway you had earlier in the year that you actually brought up on a podcast, but rookies can come in and change a team now in a way that we haven't really seen.
Not really ever in
yeah, history. Like Chet, completely, like, you know, transformational player for the Thunder. Hawkes, obviously, just another good Heat guy. Derek Lively on the Mavericks. I mean, more than anything, the Mavericks turnaround is because they've added a real rim protector and play finisher and Lively. Like, that's really what I feel like spurred this year's Mavericks being so much better than last year's Mavericks.
I mean, I think the Gafford move was obviously huge, but if they didn't draft Lively, they're probably in the play-in conversation.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah, like they had no rim protection before Lively. Like, and normally rookies you don't bring in to be like the defensive anchor. I remember you were really skeptical of that, and it's like, it's crazy how well that paid off.
Yeah, it worked out really well. Yeah, and you keep looking down the line, like right now the Warriors, they've started Trace Jackson Davis for the last like 10 games, have had so much.
Yeah, Trace success. Has been huge for them. Pajemski's been massive for the Warriors. Awesome. It's kind of crazy how much like rookies are really like a big part of all of these, you know, contending teams.
Yeah, especially in the West.
Yeah, in the West, the better conference.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Let's see, what do I got? Oh, how about this? The super team era, it's done. I feel like it is officially done. You could no longer do the classic like big three mid-2000s build anymore. What about a
big five?
I don't think it's tenable. You're talking about the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, that's a super team.
Is it? Is it a super team?
You guys don't. I think the Celtics are a super team. The difference between the Celtics and the other super teams is they don't have a top five player on their team.
Also, the difference between the Celtics is like they didn't acquire a lot of their players in a classic superstar trade. Like Derek White, bargain deal, really, really great player. But I think it's partially, you know, situation. Drew Holiday is not the superstar player that I think he even was like in their 2021 finals run. Obviously Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I would put in that superstar bucket. They were also drafted to the team that I think that changes things a little bit. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis, would you call him like a, a star. He's probably like a...
I'd say he's a star. I mean, I guess we've... Well, have you changed your stance on the Brown versus Porzingis? Because I still think Porzingis is the second most important Celtic.
I mean, I think he's probably the second most important Celtic. Is he the second best Celtic? I would not say that.
Mm. Yeah, okay. All right. So you think the era of super teams is done?
Yeah, it just in what we know it. Like, you look at the Sixers. The Sixers low-key built a super team last season. Didn't work out. Took too much. Stressed too much. You look at, we saw the Nets fall apart. We've seen the current Suns build has not worked at all. The Clippers build worked a little bit, but not really. The Lakers, if they had more depth, I think they would have been able to sustain, you know, they had injury problems throughout the year. But the like mid to bottom end of their roster just was not strong enough to sustain any bit of like, you know, tinkering or roster experimentation. And this is a season where the Lakers were healthy. You know, you had the dream season from LeBron James and Anthony Davis that Lakers fans had been wishing for, but because of their roster construction in this like kind of late aughts super build form, like it didn't really work.
Well, but the Lakers are not a super team.
Are they not?
I think you're saying like the 2020 Lakers were a super team.
Right? Yeah, I'm saying they're on what built we're defining like as a super team. But when you acquire big stars for picks and you know prospects.
But it's just the two stars and role players. Like, I don't understand how you consider the Lakers a super team and not the Celtics.
I mean, I don't know. Because are you defining super team? Are you in that way?
But are you are you defining super team by how they acquired the players or the actual quality of the players?
I'm defining it by the structure of their cap sheet.
But okay, the Timberwolves made the most gobstopping superstar-esque trade for Gobert, and they're the two seed.
That is true.
I don't think the era of super teams is over. I just think the talent's been distributed more. Because I don't understand that the Celtics are a super team.
You just got like four guys all making $30 million.
You got
or
five
more.
Guys.
Five.
When I think of super team, I think of household names.
Yeah.
And Derek White and Kristaps Porzingis are not household names.
But Tatum and Brown
are.
And Holiday.
I don't know if I'd even consider Drew Holiday to be a household name. But that's just my, like, when I'm talking about like the 2020 Lakers, it's like, oh, those are all people that like everybody knows.
But outside of AD and LeBron, who did people know? I guess Dwight.
Dwight Rondo.
But they were being paid like on the minimums that year.
Yeah, I guess it's a different conversation than what you're talking about, which is financial.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little confused how we're defining super team. Because it feels like the Timberwolves fit that description then.
Yeah, I guess they do. And it's not like a perfect thing. But I think just in general, it's harder to make it work in today's NBA than like the guaranteed, like you're the Lakers, you're trading for Dwight Howard, you're expecting to be in the like upper echelon. I think that's just not a guarantee anymore. And of course that didn't work out in many other times.
I guess like maybe a team but it's so weird to call this team the poster child of what you're saying is the Bucks.
Yeah, I think Bucks are a perfect poster child.
But like, if the Bucks had hired Nick Nurse, I kind of feel like they'd be really, really, really good. I don't know. Maybe. But like, I watched Adrian Griffin, Doc Rivers, and Darvin Ham. It's like the three-headed monster of abysmal coaching. I don't know. I
don't know. I don't think you can add Darvin Ham in that group. He's like, I know he's had a rough.
Darvin Ham is
bad. I know he has, but literally last postseason, everybody's talking about Darvin Ham as like, oh, like he's the next Ime Udoka. Like he's really got the player's ears. Like,
but things can change in good and bad ways.
That's true.
Like as a Heat fan, I think Spoelstra took a huge leap as a coach after 2010. You're not always coaches are like players. They also change season. Like Popovich was awful this year. Going back to my all 82 games matter, like the Spurs have been winning at like a 500 clip for like a month now. Guess what? They could have been doing that all year.
Yeah, maybe. But then again, it goes into the, like, you know, you look at the Warriors schedule, super loaded at the beginning, a lot easier in the end. I mean, Warriors fans are calling for Steve Kerr's head earlier in the season, and then he gets this extension. But I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll just disagree on that one, because I think a lot of it comes down to coaching, especially for Lakers, Bucks. Yeah, I don't know. I just think the coaching matters a lot for those teams.
I mean, yeah, even in, like, you would say probably the Bucks had their best coaching later in the season, which they've had their worst
stretch
winning percentage-wise.
But none of us like the Doc Rivers hire.
Yeah, I mean, I stand by it. It's probably the best you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's better than Griffin, but I don't know.
Better than Joe Prunty.
I think the sentiment that you're making, which is like the idea of, oh, you can bring in an all-star high-level talent and fix your whole shit, that idea has crashed.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't think you can really buy contention the same way that you did. You have to be like a holistic organization.
I don't agree. Also, because I think individually, like the Suns, there was a lot of concerns about redundancy even when Durant got brought in. And then Beal, like, I had the concern about redundancy. Like, I think if they brought in maybe some sort of center who's a little bit more paint focused, not a spread center, like, I think that would have helped more than Beal would have. Like, the Suns, like, they didn't really address their problem that they don't take enough shots at the rim. Like, if they added a star player whose archetype is more like that, I think that would have benefited them a lot more.
But also, a major problem of the Suns last year is they had no release valve at all in terms of, like, perimeter shooting.
But they have Grayson Allen now.
I know, but they didn't when they...
But that's what I'm saying is, like, Beal. You can add that Grayson Allen piece like they did, but instead of trading for Beal, trade for someone who actually fixes the shot profile of your team, because they just flagrantly didn't address the biggest issue with their team last year, which was shot profile.
But they did. They did with Bradley Beal.
But Beal's still a mid-range heavy shooter.
But, I mean, Bradley Beal attacks the rim way more than Chris Paul ever did.
More than Chris Paul, but still as a whole team, not enough. Like, when they just settle for so many mid-range jump shots.
But it's also just like, I mean, I stand firm in the Beal was as good as you were going to do. We traded Chris Paul, elderly Chris Paul, and a bunch of second-round picks for Bradley Beal.
It's a good trade on paper in my mind.
I don't know. I had it as one of my worst moves of the offseason earlier this year, and I stand by that.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, completely takes out of context, like, the price that you paid and the options. Like, nobody wanted Chris Paul.
But
and
nobody the only wanted Bradley Beal either.
But yes, teams did want Bradley Beal.
Not with that no trade clause.
The Bucks wanted Bradley Beal. The Heat wanted Bradley Beal. And they didn't want to pay, and neither did the Suns, so they traded a bag of chips for him.
I think I know Chris Paul is old and he's aged. The Suns are 47-33. If you told me Chris Paul was in Bradley Beal's place, I'm not convinced the record would be any different.
I mean, that is partially because of how much time Bradley Beal has been. When Bradley Beal has been in the lineup.
But that's a concern you have when you trade for Bradley
Beal. Every single metric says that the Suns are a way better team with Bradley Beal on the floor.
But when you trade for a Bradley Beal who has a history of missing 30 games every single year, you can't be surprised Pikachu when he misses 30 games.
I know, but look at Chris Paul. Chris Paul had a broken hand this year.
No, I know. He's also injury prone.
Chris Paul was injured in every single playoff series that we ever had him in.
I just disagree that the Bradley Beal trade was a good trade. I just think if the Suns, like, and I don't know if that trade was out there, but I don't think you just force a trade if there's nothing out there. Like, I think Siakam would have helped the Suns a lot, too.
I don't think they had the assets to get Siakam.
They probably didn't, but I guess my point is, I don't think super teams are gone. I just think the teams we're using as an example, like the Suns, like, I just don't think they made the right trade. I think if they made what I would consider the right trade, they would be better off.
It's just strawmanning, though, to say that there's this, like, perfect center floating out in the ether that the Suns could have, like, thrown out their, like, garbage, like, pick swaps for. You know, that's literally what they traded for Bradley Beal.
But I guess, but like my point too, this even goes back to the Durant trade though, is like Durant and Booker are way too similar. They see, like the Suns doubled down on redundancy.
If you think that the Suns shouldn't have traded for Kevin Durant, that's one thing that I guess I'll listen to. But once they traded for Kevin Durant, I just feel like you have to do that Bradley Beal trade if it's on the table.
I just don't agree. I don't know. I guess we're just looking at it very differently because I don't view the Lakers as a super team at all. I think there's one super team in the league right now, and there's two. It's the Clippers and the Celtics. And they're both really good.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just agree to disagree on that one.
I can't believe you don't think the Lakers are a super team. They have two guys that make like $90 million together.
Okay, well, the Nuggets do too. The Mavericks do too. Pretty much every top team does throw the Mavericks
in there. Okay, what's your next observation?
That was it. I'm ready for hot streak shooting slot.
James, all right, I will say you come for the Suns way harder than Patrick comes for the Lakers.
Hey, right there.
Who stink? Sorry.
Who? My best take of the year before the in season tournament. What did I tell you, James?
You don't think the Lakers are good?
I told you that the Lakers were a bottom playing team.
The Lakers,
that is exactly what they fucking are.
If the Lakers had hired Nick Nurse, I guarantee you they're in that 5-6 area.
Yeah, and if the Lakers should have brought back Phil Jackson too. That would have been great. I think they really would have taken a step forward with Phil at the helm.
Shaquille O'Neal seems to think that he can still dominate most big men in the league. So let's just get
the Suns should have acquired Anthony Davis. He would have fixed all of their problems. all right.
Taking care of your health isn't easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last year, I've been drinking AG1 every single day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel strong and ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. AG1 has been really helpful for me because lately I've been on a lower calorie, super high protein diet and I need to still get my vitamins and minerals, and AG1 makes that really, really easy for me. I just take it every day in the morning and my whole day is just ahead of me and I feel great throughout the day. If there's one product I'd recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/foultrouble. That's drinkag1.com/foultrouble. Check it out.
So, hot streak shooting slump, the segment where we review our last 7 days and say if we are on a hot streak or if we have been on a shooting slump. James, where are you sitting?
I'm on a slump.
You're on a slump.
I am on a slump. Why? I know. I think we were on three hot streaks. No, I'm on a slump. So between my neighbor's backyard and mine, there's a decaying fence. Mm-hmm. And my neighbors, and you know, this is one thing people are like, you should really get that fixed before you sell this house. I'm like, great. My neighbor's trying to do it. He gets a contractor. He offers me like a 40-60 split. So I'm paying less than half. He found a great deal. I'm like, let's fucking go. I'm not even gonna have to pay like anything to get this fence fixed. He's like, all right, they're coming at 11 to take down the old fence. So it's like 1 o'clock and I'm like looking out the window and I'm like, why do I still have a fence? Nope. Contractors just ghosted my neighbor. They just ghosted him.
That's the worst.
Yeah,
that's
the worst. Terrible. And then I was supposed to get my cabinets in my kitchen fixed. You know, the Foul Trouble boys have seen my decrepit kitchen missing its cabinetry.
It's disgusting.
It's awful.
Insulting.
It's insulting humanity. It's the super team of sinks, if you will. I don't know. It was supposed to get fixed this week. It got pushed back to next week.
That's super annoying.
And then the cherry on top of my failing house saga, you know, I met with a realtor to explain the new real estate rules. I don't know if anyone saw, but like agent commission is all up in flames. They overhauled the real estate rules.
So it's like they get basically a higher percentage now?
So basically the way it used to work, or it still maybe works. I don't know. It's really weird. This is still in court. But the National Association of Realtors said they're going to uphold this agreement. So even though it's like agreed to, it's not legally ratified. So right now, apparently for the next year, the real estate market is going to be like in flames. Basically, when you sell your house, you choose how much commission is going to your agent and their agent. So old buyers agents would steer their clients away from houses that had low commission for the buyer agent. So they've changed it now so that listing websites are not allowed to disclose how much commission the buyer's agent is going to get. So the theory is it should lower commissions for agents on both sides because now there will be no more steering. But real estate agents who I've met with have told me it's really stupid because there's a million workarounds. So no one knows if finessing the system is going to be the new norm or if like the honest attempt to make it better is going to be the new norm. Anyway, he was like, what improvements did you make to your house? I'm like, well, I fixed all the plumbing. I fixed the sprinklers. I did all this. He's like, yeah, no one cares about that stuff. If it doesn't look good, like, ah, you're telling me my house hasn't gone up in value?
You have so much more adult problems than I do.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just been a slumping week. It's been one of these weeks where I'm not filming any videos. I'm just shooting videos. So it's like sitting in my dining room with my laptop for 8 straight hours and I'm like starting to get headaches. So I don't know. I got to get back to my old ways. Go to some breweries, bring my laptop, go to some coffee shops. That's where I get my best work done.
There we go. Yeah, just keep binging basketball games.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed Nuggets Timberwolves last night.
Okay, Max?
I don't know. I'm struggling with the slump streak dichotomy right now.
I feel like you always are.
I kind of, yeah. Like, I just, how does that account for just like when you're just kind of chilling? Like, you're not necessarily crushing it, but you're not necessarily doing it.
You've got it. It's yin and yang. You've got to be one.
I'll go streak then. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Mm-hmm. Been busy. Been watching some great basketball. I love that the last 2 weeks of the regular season are this fun. And, you know, going to see some movies this weekend. I'm going to check out Civil War.
Ooh.
I'm excited.
Yeah, that seems crazy. Monkey Man is on my list.
Yeah, I'm trying to try to see Monkey Man as well. Yeah, I don't know. Not too bad, not too great. Kind of chilling. I'm going to call it a streak.
We'll take it. If there's ever a good time to kind of be level-headed, it's right before the playoffs start. Yeah. I am having a hot streak. It was my little brother's 21st birthday on Tuesday, which boy am I just can't do it on Tuesday nights like I used to, let me tell you. We're out to like once like it hit like 1:30, I was like, I'm sorry, like I just
gotta go.
I'm not built for this anymore. Like bar hopping in Hollywood on a Tuesday night. I got work the next morning. It was just too much, but it was a really fun night. We went to the Magic Castle. Have you guys ever been to the Magic Castle? No. It's like, do you know of the Magic Castle?
Where is it?
It's in Hollywood on Franklin.
It is
literally a castle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do know about this.
For those of you that don't live in LA or don't know what the Magic Castle is, it's this like invite only like magic club where they have live magic shows, and it's like also a steakhouse, and it's incredibly like overpriced, and it was really fun. The food was good. I saw this woman like making these batons levitate and whip around. I love when you can watch magic and be like, I have no idea what the hell is going on right here. Because the first guy, he was like making these like little caps on his fingers disappear. I was like, I can see you're obviously just taking it back and forth, putting it on your fingers. But that lady, she was amazing. I think her name was Hannah, something like that. If you like magic, look her up. She's great.
You like have to dress fancy when you go.
You got to wear a jacket and a tie or you're not allowed in. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure about the women's
attire.
But yeah, it was nice. We got all dressed up and then we did that thing. And nice. Now all of my siblings are over 21. So
hell yeah.
Let's go. Happy birthday, Matthew.
Two streaks and a slump.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. All right. We will catch you guys on Monday.
But wait, James, you are doing something fun on Friday.
Sorry, I have a dermatology appointment in the city I have to run to. Yes, on Friday, I am broadcasting an NBA game with Jesse and Chris. So check out the alternate broadcast. I don't know what game we're on yet, but the NBA will put it out there.
It is going to, I believe this is public knowledge. I don't know.
But you could say it.
Yeah, it's they're going to be watching the Pelicans Golden State Warriors game.
Okay.
On Friday night, it's going to be on League Pass, an alternate stream. Tune in, Jesse, James, Chris.
Yes.
All the
It'll
best.
It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be so very chaotic. Some of us will probably have to do forfeits if it's anything like last year's. I don't know. I'm going to rehearsal today, and I have no idea what to expect. I had no idea what to expect last year. But yeah, catch your boy broadcasting an NBA game. I'll bring my full bias. What team do you guys want me to root for?
Which one of your eight teams?
I desperately need a Pelicans loss, so please go for the Warriors.
See, I want to root against the Warriors, though.
See, it's the second I ask him.
No. I asked it, but then in my head I was like, please say Pels.
It's because he's got his Lakers agenda.
I got the Lakers agenda, yeah.
The Warriors are worse. I say root for the Pels.
Okay, 2-1.
Do whatever you want. You are going to do it anyways.
I'll try not to. I don't know. I feel like last time we did a Lakers Utah game.
Yeah, late in the season.
In the season, and it was during the Lakers like needing to win like every possible game just to make it. And it was like versus a Utah team that's like all they want is all Talen Horton Tucker wants is to enact revenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Just root for a good game.
I'm gonna root for Zion, man. I want Zion to regain. I mean, I guess he's regained it, but like fully regain.
I sorry, dude, you got to go back and watch that Suns Pelicans game. Brian Windhorst was calling it the best game of his career. Like, he looked absolutely incredible in that game.
Yeah, I love me some Zion. All right, we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.